From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's 2016 Python Challenge is set to kick off January 16th. The month-long event is drawing hundreds of hunters from around the nation to South Florida to try their hand at capturing invasive Burmese pythons that first began showing up in the Everglades in the 1990s. We'll take a closer look at what participants can expect. We'll also explore an ongoing python tracking effort here in Southwest Florida and what researchers are learning about how these constrictors impact the ecosystem. Plus, a pervasive anti-snitching mentality plagues law enforcement investigations and criminal prosecutions here in Southwest Florida and around the nation. In the current state legislative session, Florida lawmakers will consider a bill aimed at encouraging more witnesses to come forward with information that could lead to arrests and homicides and other felony crimes. We'll explore the causes of witness reluctance and possible solutions. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. Gun violence has become a growing concern in recent years locally. It's a frequent topic of discussion among public officials and partially what's motivated recent protests in the city of Fort Myers. The community faced national media scrutiny over gun violence in the region following one day last fall when seven people were injured in shooting incidents in a seven-hour period, and then the high-profile shooting at ZombieCon. Another high-profile case involved the 2014 shooting death of 5-year-old Andrew Faust. A witness to the shooting initially identified Faust's shooters, but the state attorney's office ended up having to drop the case when the witness recanted her story. That case in particular serves as an example of a pervasive no-snitching culture that's stymied law enforcement investigations across the country. For the remainder of the hour, we'll take a closer look at what's behind this no-snitching culture, how to combat the problem, and convince witnesses to homicides and other crimes to come forward. Joining me in studio is Lee County Sheriff Mike Scott. Scott was elected to head the sheriff's office in 2004 and then reelected in 2008 and 2012. He's a third-generation native of Lee County and holds numerous law enforcement certifications, including graduation from the FBI National Academy. Sheriff Scott, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me in.
And we're also speaking with County Judge Archie Hayward of the 20th Judicial Circuit. Judge Hayward is also a Lee County native. Prior to his judicial appointment, Judge Hayward served as managing attorney for Florida Rural Legal Services Senior Advocacy Program, and prior to that ran a general practice focused on criminal defense law. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Democratic State Representative Ed Norain of Tampa was unable to be with us today due to his commitments in the state capitol, but we did catch up recently to discuss a bill he's sponsoring in the current legislative session aimed at addressing witness reluctance. His bill would exempt the identities of witnesses in felony cases from public records requirements in an effort to convince more witnesses to come forward without fear of retaliation. I recently caught up with Representative Norain to discuss that proposal. Let's hear that conversation now. Before we get into the specifics of the bill, tell me about why you want to do something to address this pervasive no-snitch culture.
Well, unfortunately, we're seeing a rise in violent crime all throughout the country. And the scary thing about it for many people is that they would love to cooperate with police officers in trying to resolve these problems, but they don't feel like they're going to be fully protected. And in working with the Tampa Police Department and other law enforcement agencies, what they found is the biggest reluctance is that people are concerned that their information is going to get out. And so what this bill hopes to address is to shield that information at least until the trial is over and the felony has been prosecuted. At the very least, though, it would give people a measure of comfort knowing that they can come forward and not have to worry about retaliation.
Has this been a pervasive problem in among your constituency? Are there a decent number of homicides that go unsolved because people are afraid to come forward?
Well, unfortunately, what we've seen is a rise in violent crime, shootings in particular, amongst young people. And that's been the most concerning piece for me. Earlier last year, to start the year here in my town of Tampa, we had a 14-year-old that was killed at a party. There had to be at least 40 to 50 young people that were witnesses, and none wanted to come forward for fear of retaliation. And that's when I realized that, you know, we needed to take some bold action and do something that would protect people and at least make them feel comfortable in cooperating. We've seen the same thing happen in neighboring cities all across the state of Florida, unfortunately, where people are getting shot and people have an idea of who did commit the murder, but they're unwilling to come forward for fear of their safety.
Do you think this no snitching culture, more or less, has become more pervasive in recent years? And if so, what do you think accounts for it?
There's no doubt that it's been growing at alarming rates. I think a lot of it has to do with some of what you're seeing out in pop culture. You know, I'm one of those people that doesn't want to blame music and the music industry for things that go on. And I do believe there's a firm difference between the hip hop music that's being heard in some of the households of the past and some of the music that's out today. Today's music doesn't focus on love or empowerment. It's all it, not all of it, but a lot of it is very destructive, and it highlights it. The no-sitch culture, which is a problem.
And, you know, you mentioned in the Tampa area a lot of shootings among young people, but when it comes to this witness reluctance, that's not just young people, is it? That seems to cross demographics.
Absolutely, it does. You know, you have a lot of seniors in the state that, you know, they see things and they're just afraid that the police aren't going to be there to protect them. And so they're reluctant to come forward as well. But we've got to do something. And that's, we can't just sit there with our hands folded and say, hey, people are killing themselves and this is just a normal part of society going forward. You know, I'm a father, and God forbid something were to happen to one of my children, I would want somebody who saw something to feel comfortable coming forward knowing that they're going to be protected as well.
Tell me exactly how this bill that you're sponsoring would work. What would be exempt from public record and for how long?
Well, I want to be clear in stating that a person whose information would be protected from being published in the media. This does not mean that a defense attorney or someone who's being charged with a crime would not have access to that individual's name. They still would know who the person is that is making the accusation. It's just that that person's information would be shielded from the public in any type of newspaper or radio or social media type of release. So your Sixth Amendment right of confrontation will still exist.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my very next question. How would this work out in a courtroom? I mean, the witness would still have to, I mean, as you mentioned in the Sixth Amendment, you know, people have a right to face their accuser. Their identities wouldn't remain, they wouldn't have secret identities in terms of the actual court process. It wouldn't be published.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And that's the fairest way to provide balance in a situation like this. You know, if I were falsely accused of something, I want to know who's making the accusation. But at the same time, it's not important for everybody in the community to know who that person is either. That's the steps we need to take to stop the no-stitch culture and to protect people.
And this would apply to witnesses in felony cases?
Yes, felony situations.
Okay. You know, Florida's open government laws are among the most expansive in the country. I'd imagine that you would get or you have gotten some pushback from open government opponents.
Absolutely. You know, I don't expect the legislation that any of us as members of the House try to put through is going to be agreed upon by everybody, which is unfortunate. I wish I could have that. But this is something that I feel is necessary to protect the citizens of Florida. It's not anti-First Amendment. That information is still going to be there. Defense attorneys will still have access to that information as well as a defendant in a criminal case. It's just something that we need to do to do something to stop the violence that's happening throughout Florida today.
And in a recent Tampa Bay Times article on the bill, Tampa area attorney Rachel Fugate, who's also a media law expert, was quoted as saying that your proposal just wouldn't work and that, quote, this is a solution looking for a problem, end quote. What is your response to that?
Well, you know, I try not to make things personal, and I don't know the attorney that was quoted, but, you know, the district that I represent, unfortunately, has had more murders this last year than any other parts of town. So, you know, I know what it's like to have a conversation with a mother who's lost their son to gun violence. And I'm telling you, it's not something that anybody ever wants to have to do. And unfortunately, for my first term in office, I've done that a lot more than I've wanted to. So as someone who has to deal with this issue every single day, I feel it's my responsibility to do something, and I'm trying. If there's a better way, I'm open to it.
And what's the current status of the bill? Is it going to first be heard in the House Criminal Justice Subcommittee? Is it already on the docket to be taken up by committee members?
It's not on the docket yet, but we're working to get it on the docket. Most recently, the Miami-Dade County passed a resolution in support of the bill, and we anticipate having support from multiple law enforcement agencies throughout the state of Florida. So we feel pretty confident that we can get it on the calendar and heard. And if that happens, hopefully passed.
So at the present time, have any law enforcement agencies or organizations representing law enforcement come out in favor of it? Or again, that's just something at this point that you're anticipating will occur?
We anticipate it. We've had conversations with the Tampa Police Department, who so far have been extremely supportive, as well as with the Florida Sheriff's Association and with the PBA. But we haven't received their official support, but we have started those conversations.
And does the bill have a companion measure in the state Senate at this time?
Yes, it does have. We do have a companion bill that's filed by Senator Charlie Dean, who's a retired sheriff.
Okay, and what do you think regarding the likelihood of the bill passing? Has as you talk to other lawmakers, is it garnering support, and is that support bipartisan?
I'm pretty sure that the people that I've spoken to, which are on both sides of the aisle, that have expressed their willingness to support it, will, if we can get it up for a vote. We're all very, very focused on reducing crime in Florida, which is at an all-time low in the state. But the concern is with the types of crimes that are occurring. And these murders, they just have to stop, especially in areas that appears to be concentrated. So this is just one step. And I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to get the support we need to get it passed through the House.
And are there any other legislative proposals you'll be sponsoring or supporting this year aimed at addressing this issue of witness reluctance and then the no snitch culture, so to speak?
No, at this time, this is the only bill that I'm working to support that. I know we have other members of the Democratic Party and of the Black Caucus that will be working different anti-violence measures as well. But this is the only one that deals with witness protection.
Well, Representative Narain, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for taking the time.
That was Democratic State Representative Ed Narain talking about a bill he's proposed for the current Florida legislative session aimed at combating witness reluctance. We'll now open up the conversation to our guests, Lee County Sheriff Mike Scott and County Judge Archie Hayward of the 20th Judicial Circuit. I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Connect with our guests with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And to start off, Sheriff Scott, I just wanted to get your impressions of the bill that Representative Narain is proposing. Is that something you would support?
It certainly is. I think that anything that we can do that, of course, we have to maintain the parameters of the accused having the right to
confront their accuser. However, with that said, anything that meets that standard or that
threshold for the defense community and otherwise.
Right, we're losing your mic there. I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on. We'll just swing this one over here. All right. Sorry about that, having a little bit of technical difficulty. But we are discussing the issue of witness reluctance, and we're here speaking with Sheriff Scott and, of course, Judge Archie Hayward. Go ahead again. Start off.
Well, in summary, as I was saying, is that as long we have to maintain the constitutional rights of the accused. And so, needless to say, as long as this passes the test of the defense community, then I'm all for it. And I'm certain that no one would suggest that we do anything other than that. While the accused has a right to confront their accuser, at some point early in the investigation, if this helps people come forward, of course, law enforcement, I would think, unilaterally would be for it. We do have a problem with these particularly violent crimes, homicide and otherwise, where folks are not coming forward. One of two reasons, either out of fear, which I hear very frequently, or out of this sort of don't snitch just mentality, almost a subculture where it's fashionable to not be a snitch, to know what's going on and not talk about it. So, we'll see how this goes. I applaud the effort to make some improvements here and maybe help our community.
Judge Hayward, what are your impressions of Representative Narain's proposal that we just heard about?
As the sheriff has said, there's the constitutional right to confront your accuser, and certainly that will be something that will have to be addressed. Certainly the legislature can work those things out, and then it will be up to the courts to decide whether or not that's going to be acceptable.
All right. And both of you are longtime Lee County residents. From your perspective, and I'll start with you, Sheriff Scott, do you think the problem of witnesses not coming forward and really helping out in these investigations has gotten worse in recent years.
It's gotten worse, but regrettably, it's gotten worse in specific predictable areas. For example, we have a very, very high-profile case ongoing in the community right now, the case of Dr. Seavers.
Yes.
There are other examples I could give over the years where homicides and or violent crime have occurred in different areas of this county specifically, and that's, of course, what I'm able to speak to.
Right.
I suspect, though, it's very similar trending statewide, where we don't have a problem with witnesses coming forward. But it seems like in the inner city, where we do see an inordinate amount of violent crime and specifically homicides, as we plot these things, we can see there's a specific geographic area that's a hotter zone than others in terms of hot spots. In those areas, that's where we find the predominance of folks that are not willing to come forward, again, for one of two reasons. Could well be fear.
Right.
And we've tried to remove that issue by anonymous mechanisms to report crime. If people don't trust Crime Stoppers, there's another option. There's recently, as you may well know, I came up with something that's rather simple, which is just pre-postage paid envelopes addressed to the sheriff's office, no return address. And we've simply said to people, jot a few notes down and put it in the mail. There's no way in the world anybody would know the source of that information. So, and frankly, that was not really very successful. I have to tell you, sadly, that we didn't get many letters returned to us, and we put thousands in the community. At some point, there's no question whether it's fear or don't snitch. The community has to help law enforcement. We are typically not there to witness the crime, and so many times we need a little spark to get the fire of the investigation started.
And Judge Hayward, I wanted to get your impressions on this as well, just as far as what do you think is the source of this witness reluctance or this no-snitch culture?
Well, what we can see in the mentoring program that I participated in, you have young men who are familiar with the sort of the creed or the motto or whatever you would call it, is that you don't snitch. And then also, people are not stupid. They're smart for certain things, and they understand that they put themselves in jeopardy if they stand up. But if you stand up to be accounted, you are always going to be put in a position to be challenged by any person who is not going to support your position. But certainly we have what we consider, you know, standing up for right. And somehow we have lost that, it appears, from our young people who are looking at, well, it's better not to stand up for right. It's better to stand up for me.
And Representative Narain, in our interview when we spoke recently, had talked about it, at least in the Tampa area where he is. He sees it crossing all age demographics, particularly when it comes to fear. But do you think it's more prevalent perhaps in younger folks?
I think that the fear factor crosses all age demographics. I think that the don't snitch sort of mentality is more isolated to a younger crowd. Again, and I fully understand, as the judge just said, I fully understand why a person would be fearful. I can only say that my experience in 27 years here in this county and as a lifelong resident of Lee County is that we don't have a similar problem by and large in other areas geographically. It seems to be not only does the inordinate number of violence seem to stem from a specific area, but sort of this absolutely zero information coming forth from the community. And this has been something that's been discussed for years over several chiefs. Chief Baker was talking about this well before he left, and it's a frustration, I can tell you, that continues with Chief Eads and myself and others like the judge. So if this proposal, and again, I applaud the effort to try to make it easier for folks to stand up for right, works great. If it passes the threshold of the defense community and the judges, that's really going to be the key.
And what are some of these other communities, perhaps in Lee County, where this might be a bigger problem than in others, like Pine Manor, Lehigh Acres, Suncoast?
Well, right now, as we look at the number of homicides, let's call it specifically homicide,
okay,
and or high-level stuff like attempted murder, aggravated battery with a firearm, we have those throughout Lee County. We have things in Lehigh, Bonita, as in with Seavers was a murder case in Bonita, Pine Island, North Fort Myers, and otherwise. But very clearly, And very obviously, as we plot these crimes, there's an inordinate concentration of that in the Dunbar community, specifically that basically the heart of Fort Myers, north of Colonial, if you will, to the river, and those surrounding areas of that 33916 zip code. That's irrefutable. That's undeniable that the homicides that the city has seen in recent years basically match those that we see countywide. We're 1,000 square miles in Lee County, and yet that small postage stamp, for example, in Cape Coral, we don't see that. So there is a very unique geographic spec on this, and it's in that specific area as well that we see, at least in law enforcement, a much higher level of don't snitch for whatever reason, fear or just because in some circles, you know, it's glamorized. I mean, it's well known that Carmelo Anthony and others, of course, a very well-known NBA star, one that many, many people look up to, had signed on to this thinking of don't snitch. There'd been some controversy about that, and I think he since backed off. But when you've got someone like an NBA star talking about it, then you've got some real issues. And again, that's why I think the younger group is more inclined to fall into that.
All right. And Judge Hayward, I was hoping you could maybe tell us a little bit more about this mentoring program you had mentioned earlier.
Well, you will see that there are kids that are involved in mentoring programs. And basically, we mentor young boys, middle school age, and they are part of the average kid in the community. They're and they understand and that, you know, you have to protect yourself and you can't just be in the middle of everything and then broadcast what you know, because you can become involved. And just like any other person, they would say, you know, it's not a good idea to tell everything you know, whether because it's intimidation or you're going to then have a reputation and you have to guard against having a bad reputation, and peer pressure for kids is very strong.
And, you know, particularly looking at, you know, areas where Sheriff Scott, you see this as being a bigger problem, like in the Dunbar community. I know that following the shooting death of that 5-year-old boy, Andrew Faust, community members in Dunbar were galvanized to really do something and really try and help improve the relationship between the community and between law enforcement. I know the Fort Myers Police Department got involved in that partnership. Also, I think it was Pastor William Glover with Mount Hermon Ministries who really got it going. Lee Memorial Health System's involved in it as well. Does the Lee County Sheriff's Office, I guess, what efforts do you go to really reach out to the community and kind of, I guess, improve police-community relations or at least the impressions that folks have about law enforcement?
Yeah, sure. Our most recent initiative is called Pick Up the Ball. We had a huge event not too long ago, just before Christmas, actually, out at the Stars Complex. We had, I think we fed 400 or 500 people that day. It was a law enforcement members playing basketball with kids in the streets in the community. Pick Up the Ball, in essence, is literally we provide transportation. We drive around to the various outdoor basketball courts like Chandler Hall and some of the areas where we're drawing from what we think are target-rich environments in terms of folks that need, as the judge said, some mentoring and some positive role model and maybe in building that relationship. We pick them up. We take them to the sheriff's office headquarters. We feed them pizza and drink Gatorade, and we talk very candidly about their fears, their problems, our fears, our problems. We do reverse role playing where they become, in essence, the law enforcement officer and we are the person. We do that type of role playing. But it culminated with the huge basketball tournament that I referred to toward the end of last year. It was well covered in the media, and we'll continue to do those. At the same time, there are other outreach initiatives that we have, both in the schools. The Sheriff's Youth Activities League is a big one where we host archery and basketball tournaments and things of that nature. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I suppose I would submit that the only thing more dangerous than not telling who committed the crime is having that person continue to live next door to you. And what I've said to the community is this: look, I understand fear, but again, I have to emphasize there are mechanisms that are anonymous. And the Crime Stoppers program has been anonymous for 33 years. This isn't like some newfangled deal. It's 33 years running of anonymity, and it works. people can pick up the phone, and if worse comes to worse, they could drop again an anonymous note in the mail with no return address. We would never know in a million years where it came from. And they say, hey, look, it was a red truck. John Smith was driving it. And that might be all we need. But when you get nothing, you know, nothing at all, that's tough. And leaving that killer in the streets is just as dangerous, I think, as reporting them.
All right. And I know, well, I wanted to talk about the Nextdoor app. I know the Lee County Sheriff's Office just very recently announced that you're going to be the first law enforcement agency in Southwest Florida to sign on to this program. And again, it doesn't allow folks to remain anonymous, but it is another tool for people to be able to communicate with local law enforcement. Tell us about that.
It is, and vice versa. Basically, it's a sort of a neighborhood watch, you know, on steroids, as we've referred to it, but with the social media platform. And I agree, by the way, and I want to emphasize, we never intend something like that to necessarily be their mechanism for anonymity. Again, my suggestion, going back to the envelope or the Crime Stoppers program. Mm-hmm. But with that said, Nextdoor is a way for neighbors to communicate with each other and with law enforcement. We can push information out. They can share information back. It may not necessarily be about high-profile violence. It could be something like a burglary trend or a theft trend. If people live on the water, we've had marine theft issues where people come in by boat. It could be something as simple as a boil water notice or some of these other things. You know, recently we had the tornado in Cape Coral and the texting platform to notify folks of that. Well, in the aftermath, once these people get back up and power is restored, this can help us communicating with, because it's very unique. We can drag that mouse across the map of the county and lock in very specifically to a neighborhood. We can go street by street. We could just go San Carlos Park or Pine Manor or North Fort Myers in specific areas geographically. So it's a great way to communicate from the comfort of your home and or your office, and stay tuned.
And I know it's still very early, but is it working? Are folks in Lee County signing up?
Well, they are signing up. That I can tell you with certainty. We had about 17,000, which was a small percentage, represent about 2%, 3% of the overall population in the county before we rolled out the announcement. Since we've rolled out the announcement, we've seen the numbers soar. And as we continue to work through social media platforms, whether that be Facebook or in this case Nextdoor, we're looking at maybe Periscope, where we could stream something live to our constituents. We want to stay in communication. And that may help with the other issue that we've been talking about.
Right.
As they hear us and see us, look, the judge doesn't want killers in the community. I don't want killers in the community. And I don't believe the majority of the community wants killers in the community. So it's imperative that we are able to share information. And again, whether it's on crimes of high profile nature, like homicides and such, or whether it's just there's a ring stealing golf clubs out of open garage doors, right, we want to push that information out through Nextdoor to say, hey, look, make sure your garage doors close, lock your car doors. Some basic 101 that people need to be reminded. And when they see it coming up on a platform with the sheriff's, the credibility of the sheriff's office behind it, I think they take heed and they realize it's important.
Right, right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show, but thanks so much to my guest, Lee County Sheriff Mike Scott. Great to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Also, thanks to County Judge Archie Hayward of the 20th Judicial Circuit. We appreciate your time today as well.
Thank you.
And earlier in the segment, we heard from Democratic State Representative Edna Rain of Tampa. There's more information on today's show and past editions of the program online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue the conversation on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Richard Chinqui and Jessica Mazaros. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.